Chances are you may have missed artist documentarian Drew Anderson's video event at the end of March. For one thing, it was held outside at the end of March, and for another, it was held under a section of I-35, close to a campsite where homeless people had stayed until it was shuttered a few years ago. He'll be sharing that video at a CHUM meeting tonight, and we'll talk about the film now and the lessons that can be learned from it here on Northland Morning, and he joins us here in the studio. Drew Anderson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the inspiration for this video. Homelessness has been talked about in so many different ways, and certainly with the news events talking about homelessness, just general community meetings about homelessness. What made you decide to do a documentary film?
Well, it wasn't necessarily a documentary film. What had happened under I-35 were a series of video portraits that were projected.
Okay.
And so each portrait was a video interview I did with a friend of mine who has had experience or was currently experiencing issues of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And so they met with me at Public Access Community Television, and we sat down, and they were willing to try this kind of wacky project out and share a little bit about their personal life story in the frame, you know, of some hardship. And so what happened under I-35 underneath on each of the pillars supporting the overpass was sort of a large-scale portrait of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so people could walk up to each pillar and sort of experience their story.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's really it didn't really follow a specific storyline like a documentary would, but it was more of sort of an experiential.
And so it wasn't on one screen either. Was it sort of different stations?
There were nine separate projections.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, just technically, in the month of March, trying to have electronics outside in the winter, how did you decide to, I guess, present that?
That's a good question. Yeah, I initially thought that this would just somehow get figured out, and I soon realized when I was doing some sort of test projections earlier on in the winter, it was a cold reality that I was up against, that, you know, cables get sort of stiff and your fingers get cold. But fortunately, during the night, the two nights of the event, the weather was actually very mild. So setup went very well.
Okay, so it wasn't one of those 30 below nights
thankfully. Yeah. The second night was the coldest of the two, which was still tolerable. But that was part of the intention of setting it up then, was to sort of kind of convey this other reality that people sometimes don't have a place to be inside.
It's often a reality that people either choose to look the other way from, or that they maybe don't even realize is there. And the fact that it's underneath the I-35 overpass, I'm not sure which section of the overpass we're talking about.
Yeah, it was a section close to the depot.
Okay.
Sort of, there's a bike path that kind of comes down from the main downtown library and kind of takes right there. And so there's this stretch. One direction goes towards Canal Park, the other goes towards Lincoln Park.
Okay. It's a location that people literally overpass. I mean, they mm-hmm. drive over it and don't even really think about what's under.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that a homeless population was living there for years, finding a place to congregate there is good and bad, I guess. Good because at least they were gathering someplace. It wasn't like they're all struggling individually somewhere else. I mean, they did have a place to at least meet, but it was shuttered years ago. It was closed 6 years ago. And so was your friend a part of that community and was part of their discussion? In other words, what have they been doing since?
Yeah, Graffiti Graveyard was certainly a connector to this project. Although I can't say that any of the people I interviewed had experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't speak for Graffiti Graveyard. That history there is, I think, really deep. And I certainly didn't have an opportunity to go see it before it was closed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very near the site of the projections, and so it was hard not to associate these personal stories of struggle with this sort of greater picture of struggle in Duluth.
Yeah. And homelessness, I think, got a really vivid lens focused on it a few years back during the housing crisis, but homelessness has been a long-time problem. So were these, I'm just interested if some of your subjects were more recent homeless people, or if their struggles have been going on for quite some time.
Sure. Yeah, it was a variety of things, and it wasn't necessarily just homelessness. Mm-hmm. A lot of the struggles just came out of, alienation, addiction, lack of access to, basic needs. Housing certainly was one of them.
Yeah.
In a lot of the cases. But it was sort of under this greater picture of poverty in Duluth, right. And how that can look a lot of different ways, can affect a lot of people from any walk of life. And I should say too that this project was first inspired by a really amazing organization called Local Solutions to End Poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And that group's sort of whole focus is to host a candidate forum that puts poverty on the agenda of local politics. And so in a year that was sort of a break year for that group, they started a project called So Much More, which was this hope of collecting stories of community members who have lived the issues directly.
Okay.
And so this project, this projection project, is called So Much More for Me to You. It's sort of an offshoot of that same idea.
Okay. Now, the CHUM Spring Assembly meeting, which is, I had the date here a minute ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I meant to correct that. It's tomorrow evening.
Okay.
Starting at 6:30.
And the location?
Salem Lutheran Church up off of Piedmont.
Okay.
I don't know the exact address offhand.
We'll put a link to that on our website. That you had several different stations. In other words, nine simultaneous different stories mm-hmm. being told. When you're showing it tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say, at the CHUM meeting, will it be, I guess, a contiguous linear narrative, or will you sort of splice them together? How do you reinvent it?
You know, that definitely is a challenge. Unfortunately, I can't just take everybody back to the site and redo it, because I think that's really it was really a site-specific work, mm-hmm. and that was where the power was seeing these large-scale projections.
Yeah.
So my current intention is to show a video that a friend of mine put together of the event, to kind of give a sense of what it was and where it was.
Right.
I'll talk a little bit about how the project was formed, and then I am going to intend to show like a full-length interview with one of the storytellers.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Now, CHUM certainly is well aware of homelessness and poverty in the city of Duluth, and it's sort of their mission, but this film is certainly a great way, I think, for them to shine a different light, maybe one that they don't see in their day-to-day work in quite the same way. Are the stories that you're telling, I guess, different than the standard narrative? Do some of them really kind of cast a new approach to telling that story then?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I can't say I'm telling the stories. Really, these were just sort of a video interviews of folks sort of reflecting on their own life. So it's really just, I think what's different about it is it's just an authentic sort of retelling of, how they ended up in a situation and how they got out of it, and just what it felt like. And I think that's the thing that's easily, that's easy to lose sight of, is that when we're talking about anything, tied to poverty, we can really get caught up in sort of labeling and sort of the general stigma that comes with that word or words associated with it. And what was different about these interviews was that you're actually just meeting a person like any other person who, sort of shared like, this is what my life was like before this. This is what happened. It could really happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And some of it was really exceptional, but overall at the end, you're kind of left with a real person telling you about this thing.
Right.
So it becomes more than just a talking point or an issue. It becomes, just sort of almost a shared humanity. And I think,
yeah, it's that fragility, I think, that of security that people think they have that really can just dissipate quickly. And you suddenly find yourself, and I guess that to me is what is most interesting, that you're hearing from somebody that wouldn't obviously be somebody who's going to be homeless, wouldn't obviously be a drug addict, wouldn't obviously be somebody who's just had a tough life their whole life. So, of course, this is the way they live, that they have a life of struggle and poverty, that sometimes their stories were quite normal and then something happened. something happened that they couldn't plan for, something happened that just changed the conditions that put them into a slightly different place in their life than they thought they were in, that they were going to be in for a while. Because
yeah, and that, you know, that was the case with some of the interviews, and some of the other interviews too, were some of the folks actually had that life of struggle from the get-go. But I think through that, you also sort of identify too that, like, even with all that, I can also relate to, you know, the pain, mm-hmm. or just knowing somebody that also went through that, and that you just, everyone, regardless of where they've started, you know, is human, right?
Yep.
And I think by hearing the sort of the story from, you know, the voice of the person who lived it is more powerful than, say, reading about it. Or
we often,
you know,
don't get that story,
or,
do we, though? I think the story is often a quick exchange on the street or a quick hearing about somebody, but people want to, you know, distance themselves from that as quickly as possible. And I think having them sit down to really hear that story will hopefully open that door more widely, I hope. So, great. Well, Drew, thanks so much. This is great. The showing again is tomorrow night at the Chum Spring Assembly at Salem Lutheran up on Piedmont. We'll get a link and an address on our website today, too, to make sure people can find out where that is.
Yeah. And there's also a Facebook page sort of dedicated to this project called So Much More Duluth, and that also has all the details.
Fantastic. Great. We'll have all those links. I've got them right here. Good. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Drew Anderson, who's a documentary filmmaker and artist who made a film that was shown back in March under I-35, will be shown tomorrow night at the Chum Spring Assembly meeting. We'll have links, as I say, later on in the morning on our website.